Good morning, everyone. We are glad that you are tuned in today, and I hope that God has been with you this week and given you peace and strength. We certainly live in strange times, and a lot of people are hoping that we'll get back to normal soon, but maybe more of us are having questions about what normal is. And today I want to take you to Psalm 90, one of my favorite psalms, especially a couple of the verses in it. And I want to talk to you about the certainty of knowing God in uncertain times. We all look for something that is solid and secure when we face times of uncertainty in our lives. We look for what is familiar, what gives us comfort and what gives us peace. And the fact of the matter is that so many of the things in our world today, especially we see it in these times, are like shifting sand. For a while it may seem good, for a while everything looks good in our lives, but we might find ourselves in situations where suddenly the ground underneath us feels like it's shaking or shifting, and we look for something solid and secure. Probably all my life since I was a kid, I've loved being at the ocean. I've loved walking along beaches. When I grew up in Hong Kong on the South China Sea, there were a number of beaches we would go to every summer. And I loved climbing over the rocks that were along the ocean front. And the beauty of that. And for the past probably 20 years now, from time to time, when Jenny and I have traveled and we've been out on the West Coast in California for conferences or whatever, one of the places we'd love to go is the beach at San Clemente, California. It's about halfway between Los Angeles and San Diego. And it's a wonderful beach to walk along. There are really cool houses up on the bluff overlooking the ocean. And we just love to walk and listen to the sound of the waves. And it's one of those beaches that doesn't really have very many seashells, but it has lots of stones, some really small stones that you could put in your pocket and other larger ones. And they've all been turned over and over and over again in the waves of the ocean. And they're perfectly smooth. And they look like, some of them look like maybe the size of a hamburger or whatever. You can just imagine. And they're smoothed out and rounded out from years and years and years of tumbling in the waves of the ocean. And down through the years, I've collected some of those kinds of stones. I don't get like the polished, shiny, blue and yellow and green stones that you can buy in souvenir shops. I like to get them off the beach or out of a riverbed. And so all around the outside of our house and our landscaping and at various places inside, there are rocks that we've collected from different places. We have rocks from Lake Dillon and the Colorado Rockies. We have rocks that we brought all the way home from San Clemente. I've had rocks that I brought all the way home from the North Shore of Boston and around Gloucester. In fact, a few days after 9/11, when I had to travel for meetings at a seminary in that area, I flew out to Boston with six other people on the plane. And one of the things I brought back from that trip was a bag full of smooth stones that basically, almost in place of sand, made up the beach around Gloucester. And I think the reason that I love those rocks is because it reminds me of what Scripture says about God, that He is our rock, that He is our salvation. I think I told you last August or so, when we got back from our anniversary, going along the coast of Maine and the Scudic Peninsula of Acadia National Park, and just huge boulders and rocks. And you go up the coast of Northern California, the mountains come right down to the edge of the ocean, and then they're all these, it's almost like at the base of the mountains, the rocks are just scattered across the ocean front. And the same thing when you go up into Oregon. So, you know, I like rocks. I don't know if that makes what that makes me, but and I'll better stop there. The Rocky Mountains, anything that has rocks, I love rocks. Because rocks have been there for all generations. They are thousands and thousands and thousands of years old. And they remind me of Scripture, like David's psalm in Psalm 18. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. All over the world, some of the coolest castles that they've built or forts that they've built in the edge of a mountainside or on the top of a mountainside, and they've cut them out of rock. And so it's a great picture. You see it over and over again in the Psalms. And in the Psalm that we're going to read this morning in Psalm 90, it has one of the one of my favorite verses. Lord, you have been our dwelling place through all generations, from everlasting to everlasting. Moses says, you are God. So what we're going to see this morning as we look through Psalm 90 is we're going to see two sets of contrasting pictures. This psalm is a prayer of Moses. So it's several hundred years earlier than many of the other psalms, for instance, that David wrote. And in this prayer of Moses, we see two contrasting pictures. The first picture is this. You have a picture of the eternity of God and the frailty of man. And then the second part of the psalm, you see a contrast between life that is under God's judgment and life that is under the blessing of God's grace. So if you have your Bibles with you and you want to take a moment to look there, you can turn to Psalm 90. And rather than read the whole psalm at the beginning, I want to take us through in these several sections. So Psalm 90, I'll be reading the first two verses. And the subtitle of this psalm is A Prayer of Moses, the Man of God. And Moses writes, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, and you could insert there, before the rocks tumbled out on the ocean shore, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You know, one of the things I have always loved about being on the ocean front is that when you look out at the vastness of the ocean, you cannot help but be inspired by the greatness of God. I remember that as a little kid. I remember being out on the beach at night with my parents and seeing the stars and hearing the waves crash. When you're at the edge of the ocean, and it seems like you're at the edge of the world, as far as you can see is the ocean, and you look out at the vastness of the ocean, you're inspired by the greatness of God. And from time to time, and it's been this way the past couple of weeks for me, the stress of all that we're going through begins to accumulate, and we try to do all the things that we can to be positive and to look ahead with hope, but it gets wearisome and it weighs us down. And I've been reminded this week that I need to recapture the wonder of who God is, of His majesty, of His strength, that He is the God who is God from everlasting to everlasting. E.B. White was a writer of, he's best known for a couple of his children's books. He wrote Charlotte's Web and he wrote Stuart Little. But he also wrote other books, and he wrote for the New Yorker magazine. And a number of years ago, when he was writing an article in the New Yorker magazine, this is what he said. He said, last night, the world shifted. There was a total eclipse of the moon, and the weather conditions were such that most people could have watched it from their front lawns. And then he concluded his paragraph by saying, but most people watched it on television. And I think one of the sad things about where we're at right now is we're seeing life unfold on TV or on a computer screen, and it's really hard sometimes to feel like we're experiencing it unfold around us. And I would just can't help but wonder, for all the technology we have today, have we lost our wonder of God and His majesty? And with all the glut of information that we have we lost the knowledge of God? And I think that truly, if we are honest about it, we're so inundated by everything we see in the media and on the news and on the computer and on different websites and blogs and all of that. If we let ourselves be consumed in that, we lose sight of God and we lose the knowledge of God and substitute it with this whole bunch of information that's out there. And it comes down to a matter of focus. What's our focus going to be? And I've got to tell myself this every day, and Jenny reminds me every day. If I have my phone pulled out and I'm looking at it, she says, what are you doing? And I said, I'm just checking the weather. No, she knows what I'm doing. I'm finding out what the latest stuff is that's going on around with the coronavirus and all the things in the economy and when things are going to reopen and when life is going to get back together. And what I've realized in doing so is I've taken my focus off the eternal God and I put it on the circumstances that are around me. And so I need to be reminded, as Moses reminds us, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Not me, not our government, not the medical field. God is God from everlasting to everlasting. And what that means is that there has been nothing before God. He has been there from the beginning of time. He is the one who has existed and does exist and will exist in days to come. I thought about bringing a bag of the rocks that I had, and you would probably say something like, well, you should be a box of rocks. But I didn't bring them. But if I had brought them with you and showed them to you, I would say to you, these rocks are a lot older than I am. Before the mountains were born, and rocks ever came into existence, and mountains and rocks are some of the oldest things in this created earth. But God has been there. Before the mountains were born, He is God. When God revealed Himself to Moses, the name that He used was Yahweh. In the Latin and English translation, it often says Jehovah, but the Hebrew is Yahweh, and Yahweh means I am that I am. He is the great I am, which means He is eternally present. There is no beginning to God. There is no end to God. He is eternally present, which means He's eternally present right here, right now with us. And then when Jesus, God's Son, came to this earth, one of the things that He said that confounded the Jewish leaders of the day, in fact, that made them want to stone Him because they knew He was claiming to be one with God the Father, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And He intentionally did not say, before Abraham was, I was there. He said, before Abraham was, I am, because He was identifying Himself with the Father who is the great I am. And later we learn in Revelation that Jesus is the Alpha and Omega. That was the first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet. He is the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. The one who is and was and who is to come, Almighty. What an amazing picture we have of God. And so for me, there's a great deal of comfort and security and peace in knowing that. From everlasting to everlasting, before the mountains were ever born, God was there. And we have peace in knowing that He is our rock. We find our rest, our dwelling place in God. We are at home. We are secure as in Him, as we trust in Him. He is our dwelling place. From everlasting to everlasting, He is God. And He is our dwelling place, meaning that place where we find peace, where we find security, where we are at home. Well, in contrast to that, Moses goes on. He's given us a picture of the eternity of God, that from before the beginning of time He existed, that He's a solid rock, that He's the one who has been there before the mountains ever came into being. And we have this picture of the eternity of God. And then Moses gives us a great picture of the frailty of man, of our humanness. And so if we continue reading down through Psalm 90, I want to read from beginning in verse 3. So Moses has started off by talking about the fact that God is from everlasting to everlasting. And then he says this, "You turn men back to dust, saying, 'Return to dust, O sons of men.' For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. Though in the morning it springs up new, in the evening it is dry and withered. And then if you look down in verse 10, it says, "And the length of our days is 70 years, or 80, if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass, and we fly away." You could read that, and it could be a kind of a depressing description of who we are as human beings. But we have to face that reality that in comparison to eternity, in comparison to God and His eternalness, we are frail, we are fragile. That's one of the things that I've always noticed every time I get the opportunity to go to an ocean. And ironically, I live here in Indiana in the middle of the continent and I have nowhere near an ocean. But every time I get to stand on the edge of the ocean, I cannot help but feel small. And for me, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing, because sometimes we can feel too full of ourselves, or we can feel big, or we can feel self-confident. And when I stand at the edge of the ocean and I look out and I can't see anything but water and I hear the waves crash, I realize that I'm small, but God is immense and He is great. And especially if you go out to the ocean at night and stand out there and look up at the stars, and all you can see is the blackness of the ocean and hear the waves crash, and then you look up and there are millions and millions of stars in the sky. And that's kind of the sense that you get from reading this part of the psalm, is that, you know, our life is not much of anything in comparison to the eternity of God. Compared to eternity, our lives on earth seem to be painfully short. Scripture describes man as being dust to dust. And what Moses uses here, and later it's used in Matthew chapter 6 and in James chapter 1, is that our lives are compared to the grass or the flowers of a field. The heat may come up and they quickly wither, or maybe they're mowed down and even cast into the fire, but the whole idea is that our lives are temporary in comparison. Our lives here on earth are temporary in comparison to the eternity of God. And in fact, as you read through that, you get the sense that, you know, it's like a thousand years are as a day, and a day is a thousand years. And it's hard for us to fathom that kind of measurement of time, because we're in this time-space restriction of what our earth is. Grass and flowers that wither away quickly are a way that mankind has been described. Or like a dream in the night, you wake up and it's over. And maybe you find yourself, like I do sometimes, thinking, wow, where in the world has my life gone? You know, you look back and say, how did I get to this place? And where did all of those years go? And when you're young, it seems like, you know, I can remember being in my 20s or 30s and thinking like, oh my goodness, I've got all of this time ahead of me. What in the world am I going to do with my life for the next 50 years or whatever? And now, you know, I'm looking back and I see more in the rearview mirror, so to speak, as in the front. And you wonder, where has life gone? And, you know, we don't like it, but Moses is pretty accurate here. He says the length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength. 70 to 80 years at best. Yeah, there are a few people who make it to 100. There's a lot that don't make it to 70 or 80. But we wonder today, will we even have that? You know, what does tomorrow hold? What does our future hold? And our days quickly pass, is what Moses says. And that's hard for us to think about. That's hard for me to think about. And I think that one of the reasons that the coronavirus stirs so much fear is because it reawakens something that we push to the back of our minds, and that is that life is short and our days quickly pass. Life is uncertain, especially in these days. We don't know what a day will bring. I mean, 2,000, 3,000 years ago, Scripture tells us that same thing. You don't know what tomorrow will bring. And worrying about it can't change a thing, Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. But maybe more than ever, at least in my lifetime, with all that's going on in our world, with the coronavirus, the COVID-19, we don't know what a day will bring. Over the past 6 months or longer, we've had tensions with China and Iran. Now we have over 30 million people who are unemployed in America. There's devastation of locusts in East Africa. There's starvation in refugee camps in Yemen and Syria and Sudan. Life is uncertain. And in some sense, it always has been. But when we live in times like this, that becomes magnified. And that can be a debilitating thing if we let it drive us to fear and living in constant fear. Or it can be a good thing because it drives us back to the God who is the eternal God and who wants to remind us that in the midst of all of this instability and in the midst of uncertainty, He is God and He hasn't changed. He is eternal. And the picture of, let's be honest, the picture of human beings in this psalm is that we're here today and gone tomorrow. And in the grand scheme of things, that's true. And that's unnerving for me to think about. How fragile we are. How frail we are. But the point is this. As frail, fragile human beings, we need the eternal God. And maybe now more than ever before, we've been reawakened or awakened for the first time to this truth and reality that our hope, our meaning in life, our significance in life is found in belonging to Him, to God, who is the eternal one, who is the creator of all things. It's in my relationship with whom Moses describes as the everlasting God. It's in my relationship with the everlasting God through Jesus, His Son, that I find peace in the middle of a fragile and fallen world. And I have to keep going back to that and hold on to that. Later we'll see in this psalm that Moses talks about the fact he prays that God would teach us to number our days. And I think when we consider how fragile our life is and how the frailty of human life and the fact that we don't know how many years that we have, we need to take life seriously. We need to make the most of the days that God has given us. Not one of us knows what a day will bring forth. There may be something that happens today or tomorrow that was totally unexpected to us. And we know what Proverbs 27:1 says, no one knows what a day will bring forth. And that needs to remind us and drive home the truth that today is the day that God has given us. And today is a gift from God. And we need to rediscover what's really important. And the scripture says the two things that are really important, most important, and you could say the only things that are important, are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Today is the day for that. Scripture says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. That's the writer of Hebrews. And he goes on later to say, encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may become hardened by sin's deceitfulness. So if you hear His voice and you hear His call, don't harden your hearts. Encourage each other because today is the day that God has given to us. Yesterday is gone. Can't change it. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but this is the day that God has given to us. And Moses makes it really clear that in comparison to God and in comparison to His time, our time on this earth is brief and our life is fragile. We are frail. So as you move on through Psalm 90, you find this second set of comparisons. You see these contrasting pictures. The first ones that we just looked at was the eternity of God compared to the frailty of man. And the second contrast is a contrast between life under God's judgment and life under the blessings of God's grace. And to set some context for that, you need to realize that when Moses was writing this, this was a time in the history of Israel where the people, as they were making their journey out of slavery and bondage in Egypt toward the promised land, they didn't trust God, they rebelled against Him, and so a whole generation was condemned to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And that generation would die off in the wilderness. And when Moses is writing this psalm, he's writing in that context, and he's describing what life is like under God's judgment. And he's recording the suffering that the people of Israel were going through. He was speaking specifically to them, but he speaks to us as well today. And so in as we work our way down in verse 7, after talking about the fact that, you know, our life is maybe gone in a sense in the blink of an eye, he says, "We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan." And that definitely was true for a whole generation of Israel who had rebelled against God. They suffered the consequences, and they finished their years of their life out wandering in the desert, and living a what probably we would consider a very miserable existence. And then Moses continues on. It says, "All our days are passed away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. The length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." And so if you look at that passage, you see a picture of what the people of Israel faced as a result of their unbelief and rebellion. 40 years in the wilderness, they were under God's judgment. And this is a picture for us, I think, of man's life apart from God and apart from his grace. Here was a picture of people who have rejected God, were in rebellion of God. They were under God's anger and judgment, and they were terrified. And that's a horrible thing to think about. We don't like to think about that because it's difficult for us to reconcile a God who has wrath and judgment on the evil and the sin of this world and a God who is loving and compassionate. But you can't have the one without the other. And so the people of Israel in their day were condemned by their own sins. And this is the reality of life in a fallen world that we live in, under sin and apart from God's grace. And sometimes we want to just like make everything nice and happy, but the reality is when we're not living God's way and we're not walking with him, this is the experience of human life separated from God. So it's a picture of life under God's judgment. I love that Moses, and I love that Scripture never ends there. You know, think about Paul's writing in Romans where he said, "We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." And so I love the way Moses ends. He starts with God, his sovereignty, his power, his eternalness. He shows how we as human beings are frail, that on our own, apart from God's mercy and apart from God's grace, we live under that judgment. But that's not the end of the story. If that was the end of the story, there'd be no point in me standing here today or any of you sitting here listening, because the end of the story is that God in his mercy and grace extends to us a way to be brought back into his family through Jesus Christ. And we get this picture at the end of Moses' Psalms. We get this picture of what life is like under the blessings of God's grace. And this last verses, beginning in verse 12 and going through the end of this chapter, are actually a prayer. It's what Moses prayed for, and it's what we experience through grace. So listen to these words. After giving a picture of the eternity of God and the frailty of man, after giving a picture of what it's like to live under God's judgment, he says his prayer is this: "Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, O Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. And so when you see this, you see what Moses prays for, you get a picture of the character and the nature of God. You see in this prayer God's compassion and his forgiveness. You see in this prayer God's unfailing love. And I always think back to Jeremiah chapter 31, where God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. God gives us his love. And God gives joy and gladness to life. So we see God's compassion and forgiveness. We see his unfailing love. We see the fact that where we find joy and gladness in life is from God in our relationship with him. God shows us that he's working in our lives. The prayer is for God's favor and his blessing that rest upon us, and that God will give significance to our lives and to our work. And that's what it means to live under the blessing of God's grace, to know him through faith in Jesus Christ, to experience his compassion, to know what it is to be forgiven, to hold on to his unfailing love, to find joy and gladness in life through our relationship with him, to be reminded that every day in the things that are happening in our lives, God is working in our lives, and he's working through all and in the midst of all of the circumstances of life. And that God promises his favor and his blessing that rest upon us as his people. And then everything that we do in this life, we find our significance in our relationship with God. So as I bring this to a close this morning, let me just suggest to you a couple of things. And the first one is this, especially in these uncertain times, we need to be anchored to God through our faith in Jesus Christ. And the picture that Moses gives of God is of the eternal God who has always been there from the beginning of time. Jesus said in John 17, verse 3, he said, now this is eternal life. He's praying to his Father in this context. And he's saying to God, his Father, he says, now this is eternal life, that they, referring to his followers, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's how we're anchored in God, through faith in Jesus Christ. And in these days, we need to be anchored to God. The second thing is we find meaning and significance in life through our relationship with God. Otherwise, our lives are just fragile and frail, and in the course of time, we can live to be 80, 100 years old, but it's still gone like that. But we find our meaning and our significance in life through our relationship with God. And I love in verse 17, it says, may the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us, establish the work of our hands. I think what Moses is praying and what we can pray is, God, make our lives count for what really matters. Make our lives count for eternity. So we can be anchored in God through faith in Jesus Christ. We can find meaning and significance in life through our relationship with God. And lastly, we can find rest and peace, joy and security in God. And in kind of at the beginning, bookends of this psalm, we find Moses saying, Lord, you've been our dwelling place throughout all generations. And then he ends with saying, satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all of our days. God is everything good that we could possibly imagine and beyond. And the wonder is that he loves us and he wants us to connect with him and he wants us to know him. That's what the coming of Christ was all about, God in flesh. That's what the cross of Jesus was all about, the sacrifice that he made so that we could be brought back to the Father. And he invites us, he constantly invites us to come. And he invites us who already belong to his family. He says, you know, when you are weary and heavy laden, or you're burdened down with life, come to me. Come to me and find rest. And my prayer is that we will find our rest in God. Now, I realize that in the midst of all that we hear these days, it's really easy to forget the joy and the wonder of being a child of God and belonging to him. And that's true for me at times. And for me, you know, I was just out the other day looking at some of the rocks in our landscaping. The rocks remind me not just of my own frailty, but they remind me of the eternal nature of God and my need for Him and His promised presence in my life. Simple reminders that God is always here. He was there at the beginning of time, and He will be here tomorrow. So you can find your rest, your peace, your comfort, your joy, your security in Him. And every day I'm telling myself and reminding myself, I find my rest, my peace, my comfort, my security in Him. Before the rocks were ever worn smooth, before a wave on the Pacific Ocean ever broke on the California shore, before the waves ever crashed on the rocks of the Maine coast or the Portland or the Oregon coast, before the world was formed, before the Rocky Mountains jutted up into thousands and thousands of feet, before the world was formed, God was there. And He is here now. And He loves us, and He embraces us with His grace in Jesus. As frail and fragile as we are, from everlasting to everlasting, He is God. I close with reading again Psalm 18, verse 2. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. May that be true for you today. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that in these tumultuous and uncertain times, we find a sure foundation in you. You are the eternal God. You have been there before time began. You are here today. You will be here tomorrow. And we find our trust and our hope in you. Remind us of our own human frailty and our need to trust in you. Remind us that when we walk with you, we know that you are present with us and we experience the blessings of your grace, and you are our sure foundation, the anchor for our lives, and we rest in you. We pray these things in Jesus' name.